You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
It's time for Food Friday, and today we're going to dive into the perfect baking project for a fall weekend, homemade pretzels.
Yeah, and it's a Packers weekend. I can't help but notice. Pretzels, Packers, both start with that letter P. Coincidence? We'll also be talking homemade mustard and get one of our guests' favorite bread recipes.
So we're going to get going now with cooking instructor and chef Ian Knauer. He's the host of the PBS show The Farm and the author of a cookbook by the same name. Hey, Ian.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, thanks. Well, so I know that the baking is close to your heart, and we're going to start with a trendy food these days. We're going to start with pretzels. So what kinds of different pretzels are there out there for the home cook to think about?
Well, I mean, you have your basic soft pretzels and hard pretzels. I'd say that those are the two main categories. Of course, you can also get into pretzel rolls and pretzel sticks. And you can do whatever you want with it, essentially, pretzel ice cream cones. But I would stick to the soft and the hard just to start out.
Can you tell us, before we get to the how-to, what do we know about the history of the pretzel?
Well, as far as I know, it's of German origins, in fact, like many Americans. And if you look at the areas of America where Germans originally settled, you see a lot of pretzels in those areas. So you'll see a lot of – there's pretzels in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia, in New York, in Chicago. And those areas are still kind of famous for pretzels. You see them a lot in stadiums and on street food and that sort of thing.
I feel like pretzels are really trendy these days. They're all over pretzel rolls, like you said. I was in Venice Beach. This was a couple years ago, but there was a whole giant store just dedicated to pretzels. Are they still, you know, peaking out where you are on the East Coast?
I mean, around here, the pretzel has never gone out of style. So they're still small companies, still Pennsylvania Dutch companies that have been making pretzels for years and years and years and continue to do so. And they're still fantastic.
Now, we can go to a store and buy pretzels penny on the pound, more or less. Why make our own pretzels?
Well, why make your own anything? I mean, why make your own ice cream when Häagen-Dazs does a perfectly good version?
Yeah.
Because it's fun. Because you get to see what goes into your food. And because it's a great way to, you know, spend a couple hours. So, I think you should make pretzels and ice cream and your own sriracha and your own mustard and everything that you possibly can.
Wow, you're getting a little crazy there.
Yeah. Well, but wait, you can make your own pretzel ice cream cone and your own ice cream to put in it. Then you got something.
That sounds pretty good.
Never leave the house again.
Are there distinguishing things that make a pretzel a pretzel? I can think about the salt and the shape. Are there other things?
Sure. Actually, the process itself is a little unusual. It's not just baked. Pretzels are similar, in fact, to bagels, in so much that they're poached first and then they're baked. And on top of that, they're not just poached in salt water like a bagel would be, but they're poached in water that has lye in it. And lye is a chemical that gives it that sort of characteristic dark brown color and that crunch on the outside.
All right, let's get cooking here. What tools do we need to make our pretzels?
Well, you start out with a bowl, and of course you can mix the dough by hand.
Bowl.
It's
check.
A fairly straightforward bread dough. It's got yeast in it. I like to add a little brown sugar for a slight sweetness. But you could also use molasses or a malt powder would work really well. It would give you a nice malty flavor. But other than that, the dough itself is basically a yeast dough. So you let that rise, and then you form it into your pretzels. Now, again, these could be any shape, and you do this by hand also. So you could just roll it out into a stick if you want, or you can sort of get fancy and tie it in a pretzel knot. But again, so far, you are not using any special equipment. But now we need to poach them. So what we need now is a pot of simmering water and some chemical. Now, typically, in industrially made pretzels will be cooked with lye. And you can buy lye. You can buy food-grade lye. That's what is used for that. And you can buy it over the internet or really any specialty food store. Or you can just use baking soda. You can use spread some baking soda on a baking sheet and actually bake it. So you end up with baked baking soda. It sort of intensifies it and gives you a chemical that's very, very similar to lye and has the same effect at home. So you put your baked baking soda in your simmering water. You poach your pretzels, which means you drop the pretzel that you formed into that water until it sort of sets. And then you take it out and then you bake it. After you take it out of the water, you would sprinkle it with salt and you would bake it on a baking sheet. So to sum up the equipment that you would need, it would be a bowl, a pot, an oven, and a baking sheet. So really not that much.
Well, I had a kind of mixed experience when I tried to make homemade pretzels. When you got to the poaching phase, they looked beautiful going into the pot of, you know, boiling water with whatever, I think I just used baking soda. But when I tried to take them out, it was incredibly hard and they got gloppy and mangled and they looked really, it's really unpleasant. And I ended up using maybe sort of a wonton scooper to try to get them out. I was experimenting with about every utensil that I had. What do you advise?
Well, a couple things. One, I would, instead of having boiling water, I would have simmering water. So that the water itself doesn't really jostle the pretzel around too much. It sounds like you might need a little bit more baking soda in there so that they don't get too gloppy. But then traditionally what people use are sticks, and they look like big chopsticks basically. And they just sort of stick this big stick, in one of the little sections of the pretzel and scoop it out and put it right on the baking sheet. So really what you need is a lot of practice to do this, because the more you do it, the faster you'll be, and the faster you are, the less chance you have to end up with a mess.
I'm just picturing Veronica's Cthulhu-esque pretzels of doom.
They tasted really good, but they were ugly as sin. They were not pretty.
Okay, so the salt seems like it's key to the pretzel, right? What kind of salt? I mean, do you do like a big coarse kosher salt, or I don't know, can you get fancy with it?
Yeah, you can actually buy pretzel salt, which is what you'll see on soft pretzels, for instance. It's that big, coarse, chunky salt. You could use coarse kosher salt. That would work fine. Actually, one of my favorite salts to use is a Maldon salt, which is a really flaky sea salt. It has a wonderful flavor and also a really nice texture. It sort of like crunches and dissolves at the same time. So you can be as creative with the salt as you want to be. Just have fun with that.
And we're going to play a quick round here of Stump the Chef. Hmm? Rob and I were talking before the show, and we both kind of communally came up with this idea that sounded really good to us. Could you do a pretzel bread pudding?
Like bread pudding, but with pretzels.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And I would, you know, I would throw in some chocolate in there as well, and probably some streaks of peanut butter. So you end up with like a pretzely Reese's peanut butter cup. In a bread pudding, of course.
Yum.
We're gonna be back in a while. We'll play a tape of something. I gotta find something like that and eat it right now. I was thinking like caramel too would be really good with that.
Caramel would be fantastic. I mean, if you think about the ways that you would want to eat a pretzel ice cream cone, what kind of ice cream you would want on there, dulce de leche or a caramel ice cream would be at the top of my list. Because caramel and salt are such good bedfellows, they're such good friends, that's why we have things like salted caramel. So to do a caramel pretzel bread pudding or a pretzel ice cream with caramel, that just sounds like heaven to me.
You can whip up a batch, Ian, and send it to us here at WPR. Just let us know if it works. Yeah, overnight. Perfect. Well, I suppose a more traditional way to go with pretzels would be to dip them in mustard. And, you know, I think of mustard as something one buys at the store. But, of course, you being you, Ian, you said we should be making our own mustard.
Well, it's not that you should be, but it's that you can. And mustard's a really fun thing to make. It actually takes a couple days. So you start with mustard seed, or you can start with mustard powder. But my favorite way is to start with the seed, and you soak that in water. And that actually sort of wakes up the enzymes in the mustard and gives it a little thickening power. And then you blend that with your vinegar salt mixture, or you could add honey or maple syrup or a little brown sugar if you wanted a sweeter mustard as well. And depending on how smoothly you blend that is the style of mustard that you have. So if you don't blend it at all, it's a whole grain mustard. Blend it a little bit, it's a grainy mustard. And if you blend and blend and blend and then strain it to get out all the skins, then you have a smooth mustard.
What's your favorite for a soft pretzel and mustard combo?
Ooh, I'm really torn. I like a grainy mustard, and then I also like a smooth, sweet mustard. In this part of the state, we have this sort of traditional Pennsylvania Dutch mustard, which is quite sweet but also acidic. And that actually is telling of a lot of the region's cuisine, which has a sweet, sour play to it. So I like both of those.
Well, we're talking right now about homemade pretzels on Food Friday, talking with Ian Knauer, cooking instructor and chef. And by the way, we've got one of Ian's favorite recipes for crunchy pretzels on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'd like to hear from you. Have you ever tried your hand at homemade pretzel making? Did anything trip you up, or do you have some success stories to share? Do you have any secrets of pretzel making or mustard making or other things to do with your pretzels? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about homemade pretzels and more today on Food Friday. And joining us is cooking instructor and chef Ian Knauer. He is also the host of the PBS show The Farm and the author of a cookbook by that same name.
We want to hear from you. Have you embraced pretzels lately? Do you serve them on game day? Packaged, hot or cold? What do you serve them with? Mustard? Do you like them in ice cream? And have you made your own homemade pretzels? Share your story. Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And you can post on the Central Time Facebook page where, by the way, you can find some recipes.
And Ian, while we were listening to the news, they were also thinking about different applications for pretzels. And pretzel rolls are sort of ubiquitous today. What do you think about the pretzel roll? Is that going to be easy to modify here for our recipe?
Oh, absolutely. I would start with a more basic bread dough. So I might not put the brown sugar in the dough. Then just form it into a roll. And you're still going to want to poach it, like we talked about earlier, in a lye solution or a baking soda solution before you bake it off and sprinkle it with salt.
So it is, that's what I wondered. I thought they might just be baked, but you actually do poach it first. Even though it's a roll, not a pretzel, sort of, it still gets poached first.
You do. So, I mean, I would think about it as a soft pretzel, basically, instead of a roll, because you still have that soft, tender inside, but you have that golden brown crust, and that's really what distinguishes it from other breads. And the poach in the lye water or the baking soda water is what gives you that sort of characteristic golden brown color. And the thicker, you know, slightly tougher chew on the outside as well.
I'm going to ask an embarrassing question. I don't know exactly what lye is. What is lye? Rob is sniggering.
I don't know either. I'm glad you asked.
Okay, good.
I'm going to give you a slightly embarrassing answer. I'm not exactly sure.
Good. It's all of us.
I think it's from another planet.
It's a caustic chemical. It's very similar to like drain cleaner, for instance. But don't get too scared. There are food grade varieties of it that are much more watered down than what you might buy to clean with. And they are safe to eat.
Okay,
but I do have to say though, if you're using it at home, you should wear rubber gloves because you probably don't want to get it on your skin. Then the baking process, however, neutralizes it, so it's totally safe to eat after the pretzels are baked.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, let's go to a caller now. Nicole joins us in Greendale.
Hi, thank you for taking my call, first of all, and I'm so excited about the topic because for years I have been looking for a recipe to recreate my heritage German-style pretzel. And it's a unique pretzel in its, I mean, it's a pretzel shape, but it has a very thick middle. It's usually served sliced open with butter and meat or cheese. And I was wondering if your guest has any hints or tips where I can find the perfect recipe, because the things that I've tried so far are close, but not quite. And I do have food grade lye at home, and that is, oh my gosh, that is the huge difference between baking soda and an actual pretzel.
Interesting, Nicole. Thanks so much. Well, any advice for her, Ian?
Well, I think, Nicole, I think I know the pretzels that you're talking about. That sounds really similar to a Bavarian style pretzel, which is a soft pretzel. It has sort of a thicker middle, and then the ends of the pretzel come to a point. So when you're rolling it out in a log, you leave the middle basically thicker than the ends. So that sort of gives you a doughier, thicker part of the pretzel that, yes, it's very common to slice that in half crosswise and then butter it, which is pretty much the most delicious way to eat a pretzel is with butter. I would try adding some malt powder to that because you're going to get a really sort of deep caramelized sweetness, but it's not actually going to be sweet. It sort of helps balance out that the saltiness of the pretzel itself. So I would start with that. Probably use a ratio of about 3 cups of flour to about a cup of water for your dough. You might want to play with that a little bit, but you're basically going to have a fairly dry dough for that style. A lot of German baking has a drier dough than, let's say, French baking or Italian baking. So I would start with those proportions and then work from there.
Nicole, good luck, and thanks for your call. Now you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your advice or questions about making pretzels and what to serve them with.
And as far as what to serve them with, you know, this is Wisconsin. We're legally required to serve them with cheese sauce, right? I think, definitely.
Sure, I'd do it.
That's how I would eat them. So, Ian, is there an easy, you know, sort of cheese sauce recipe that you could recommend?
Sure. You know, I would work off of a Welsh rarebit or a Welsh rabbit recipe, which is essentially a cheddar sauce that has some beer in it. So you're killing a lot of birds with one stone here. You've got your beer, your cheese, and your pretzel.
Perfect.
So I'd work with that. Yeah, that sounds delicious.
And you also, if people want to bake this winter, but maybe pretzels aren't their thing, you also have a basic bread recipe and some bread making advice. And I know that we've talked to you about bread some before, Ian. What do you got for us today?
Yeah, it is the time of year to turn on the oven again and get baking. You know, it's getting cooler here. I'm sure it's getting cooler there, too. So it's a great time to roll up your sleeves and make some bread. The recipe that I sent you guys is my go-to bread recipe. It's really simple. It's really straightforward. It's only 4 ingredients. It's just water, yeast, salt, and flour. And I use an all-purpose flour because it's what I have at home. You know, there's no need to get fancy with bread flour with this dough. So I use it for bread itself. I make baguettes out of it. I make rolls out of it. If I added a little bit of brown sugar, I could make a pretzel out of it too. So it's a really sort of universal recipe for that.
Hmm. I made a homemade pizza crust last week after we did a Food Friday about pizza and homemade pizza. And I went through 3 packets of yeast because I couldn't tell if it was working or not. I don't have a thermometer. Do we just need to buy a thermometer so we can make sure that the yeast is at the right temperature? Because that's a stumbling block for me right out of the gate.
Well, no, you don't have to buy a thermometer. There are a couple tips to sort of make sure that your yeast is awake and alive. One is to mix it with your warm water before you add your water to the dough. And make sure that water is warm. And you can just touch it and you know, feel if it's warm. It doesn't have to be a certain degree. If it's warm coming out of your tap, that's perfectly fine. So mix that with your yeast with your water, add a pinch of sugar, and let it sit for 5 minutes. And if it looks foamy, then it's good to go. If it doesn't look like anything, if it looks like cloudy water, then chances are you need to try some fresher yeast. So that's one thing to make sure that your yeast is alive. It's actually called proofing the yeast. You know, you're proving that it's alive. And then the other tip that I would say is to try and get fresh yeast or cake yeast instead of the dried stuff. You can get cake yeast at your grocery store. It's usually with the eggs in the dairy section. Or if you can't find it there, go to your local pizzeria and ask them for some yeast. Every pizzeria uses fresh yeast, and it's easy to use. It's much easier to use than the dry stuff. It's got better flavor, and it works faster, and it always works. So that would be my advice.
Now, when I cook, I often like to be spontaneous about it, but bread takes a little forethought. How much time do we need to allow for the bread dough, the yeast, to rise?
In a warm kitchen, it can take 45 minutes to an hour. And the nice thing about it is that you just set it to the side and forget about it and do something for an hour and then come back to when it's all done. And then you can form your loaf and bake it off.
That's not too much premeditation, though.
It's not that bad, you know, and really you can think about it on your way home and still have fresh bread for dinner. So it's totally doable.
Now, how do you feel about kneading your bread dough by hand versus using a dough hook on a food mixer?
Well, you know, I do have feelings about this.
I thought you might.
If I use the mixer, which I do sometimes because I'm in a hurry, I use the paddle attachment, not the dough hook, because I feel like it does a better job of mixing. But that said, I really love kneading my bread by hand because there's something so tactile about it and so comforting about it for me. It's one of the things about cooking that I really enjoy is kneading bread. It's almost like going to a therapy session, but it doesn't take nearly as long, and it's a lot cheaper. I think that's a personal thing. If you don't get the satisfaction that I get out of it, then use your paddle attachment on your stand mixer, and that's perfectly fine.
Now, one thing that I imagine, if I were to make bread on the off chance, is cutting into that still steaming warm loaf of bread and having a warm slice where the butter melts. As I recall, Ian, I'm wrong. I should not cut into that warm bread.
That's right. When you take your bread out of the oven, it's still baking. From the inside out. And so if you cut into it when it's hot before it's cooled, you'll end up with a gummy interior. You've probably noticed that when you've done that before. So the thing to do if you want warm bread is let it cool completely and then warm it up again. That way you can have your warm bread and you'll get this beautiful, nice texture on the inside.
How about the pretzels? Can we eat those still warm?
Yes, absolutely, especially the soft ones. One of the wonderful things about pretzels is their sort of dense texture, and that comes from the poaching process first. If you think about other breads that are poached like that, bagels, for instance, are also really sort of dense and almost like gooey on the inside, and that's what makes them so wonderful.
And for people who are afraid of doing any of this stuff, you know, because it involves yeast and bread and various processes that seem complicated, is it hard to do this stuff, make pretzels and bake bread?
No, it's actually one of the easiest ways to cook is to bake bread, and pretzels included, because the yeast does most of the work. The yeast does the rising, and the oven does the baking. It takes about 5 minutes to knead the dough, 2 minutes to shape the dough, and then you're done. So it's 7 minutes of cooking for fresh bread, and that's totally worth it.
All right, Ian, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
That's Ian Knauer. He's a cooking instructor and chef. He's the host of the PBS show The Farm and the author of a cookbook by the same name. Veronica, last week, Lori inspired you to make some of that grandma's pizza crust. Are you inspired this week? Can we count on some pretzels?
Totally. I think I'm going to try to make pretzels if I've got time on Sunday. But yeah, I'm hoping they'll be a little more pleasing to the eye this time instead of the mangled version. But yeah, what about you?
Well, I'm going to wait for you to bring him in on Monday, of course. No, I might give it a try, and I'm almost persuaded to try bread making, too.
I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time.